Blog Talk Radio.
Going to get ready to go through in this new season that God is bringing us into.
tonight's subject, I was going to be dealing with the 10 laws of the kingdom, but somehow the Holy Spirit was teaching me about persistence. Somehow in the midst of our walk and our struggles, we hadn't been persistent in what God has been telling us to do in terms of the work that he set before us. In other words, we can get slowful. We can get a little bit of hindering. Different people are getting our path, and maybe just kind of distract us. And those are some of the things we want to deal with on tonight. As I said before, those of you who want to call into the studio, the number is as follows. And we want you to continue to be with us and hear just what the Lord has to say on this afternoon concerning that word that we're bringing from the kingdom. For those who are going to call into the show tonight, the number is 347-637-1074. You're welcome to call in, maybe get some suggestions and some points about the actual word that we're going to be bringing forth tonight. But we want to be diligent, and we want to be obedient to this particular part of the service. And let's not try to come in and eat all the pie. There's a question that we want to bring up, we want to ask concerning this particular study. Let's stay on subject. It's kind of, important for us as men of God to not get outside of what we're studying on and get some off-the-wall information that don't pertain to what we're studying tonight. And sometimes we got a habit of doing that. Maybe we have some kind of question that we want to ask. And we make time for those who would get a phone number to call in after the show or go to the website and leave us a message. You're more welcome to do that. Our website is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. In the process of also, if you want to leave me a call or leave me a number, leave me some information, you can call me personally. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. But we want you to be obedient to what God is doing in the house. If something's not agreeing with you, guess what? There's a whole lot of other radio shows you can listen to on tonight. There's so many other important things you may want to do besides just listening to me tonight. But we're going to go forth in the study tonight. We're going to open up with prayer. And we want to get started. And we want to hear, thus what say the Lord has to say concerning his word. On this is what he's given me. Really, right at the last, almost at the last minute, he gave me this. But he said, I want you to put away, dealing with the 10 laws of the kingdom, because there's not a lot that's going to receive it in terms of where it's coming. But we must understand that when we do receive it, we have to walk in obedience of it. So, Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We declare, we decree the word. We ask you, Father God, to look over us and be with us during this course of the time of the study of your word. Lord, we want to find you wherever we need to find you in terms of where we're falling short. Lord, we decree your word. We decree it. And Father God, we blame, we shut down, and we bind every outside and unchecked spirit in the name of Jesus and every soothsaying spirit. Everything that talk against that was your Father, you decree from the kingdom of me being the mouthpiece of your servant. Lord, I ask you to let it come forth in the name of Jesus and touch the heart of every individual who have an ear to hear on tonight concerning your word and what you have us to bring to your people on tonight. Well, we want to look at the book of chapter. We want to look at the book of Luke. Let me get that right with you. We want to look at the book of Luke. And we want to go to chapter 11. And we want to look at some important things going on in the book of Luke. And we want to see what the Lord has to say concerning this particular message that he's given us on tonight concerning pretty much how to obtain the benefits of the kingdom. We can't really, have the 10 laws in place if we're not going to obey them. It's just like the 10 commandments we talk about all the time. The 10 commandments are there not to save you, but because you have been saved and you have given your life to salvation and you're willing to walk in the laws of the kingdom. They're there for you to as a guide, as a measuring stick, a tool. We talked about the first part of the 10 commandments, and from 1 to 5, we talked about the process, how those first 5 commands is doing honor to God and how we reverence him. The second 5 commandments deals with the process, how we are to get along with our fellow brethren if we're going to receive that what God has in store for us. The word of God does declare the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. The reason that some of us are falling short on our labor and our workforce, we're not being orchestrated or we're not falling in line with what God has commanded. But yet we want the blessings of the kingdom. And you can't get the blessings of the kingdom if you don't walk in obedience. And if you don't walk in obedience, guess what? You're kind of outside the realm. The word of God does declare, and he does speak it. He says that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. That's in John 4:24. It talks about how the Spirit talks to spirits. And we got to be able to get in the Spirit and believe and hear what God is saying in this last day. And my word may not be perfected. I may be prophetic to the ears of others, but I'm telling you, there's a remnant for this ministry. We're not trying to gain the 10,000 and the millions or whatever it may be. We're not trying to build a big old mortar building, but we believe that our word is going to carry throughout the world. It's designed and it's genetically engineered to change the minds of those who have an ear to hear. So what it says over in the book of Luke, chapter 11, they say it came to pass, and we're looking at verse 1, say it came to pass that as they were praying, and that's the key word. Now, when you read through this, you move to it too fast. It says, as they were passing, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of the disciples, now these are disciples, people who walk with him, knew his laws, knew what he was coming to do, and declared their life unto him when he called them. Just as he began to do his first miracles. In other words, when John the Baptist came in the midst over in the book of Mark, chapter 1, they say when he began to see Jesus coming, he said, there's one who's coming whose shoes I'm not able to lace. But anyways, we go on through the chapter of the book of Mark, we find out that as Jesus began to get baptized in the Sea of Galilee, and as he began to come out the Sea of Galilee, the Bible says the power of the Spirit came, and the word of God came upon him and said, this is my son who I'm well pleased. You know, hear him. And as he began to go forth, he began to choose his disciples. But the disciples were still a little baffled too. The thing that Jesus wanted to command to them and really get them to understand, for you to understand the kingdom which has come to you, you got to walk in obedience. Because now I'm walking in the Hebrews 12. And Hebrews 12 say, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. In other words, I'm birthing something in you according to your obedience. If you see the things that I do, hear the words that I speak, you'll understand that I'm not coming on my own, but I'm coming from the one who sent me. Matter of fact, let's look at that particular verse, and let's flip over to the book of John. You know, the book of God, the word of God says in the book of John, in the beginning was, and word was, and word was with. Okay, well, what is the word of God saying? Let's go over to the book of John. Let's look over to the 14th verse, and I say this all the time. I'm in the 14th chapter of the book of John, and it says it really very, very plain and clear in the 14th chapter in the 10th verse. He said, believe it. Now he said, believe it thou not. Now, you got a choice. It's a free will. Believe it thou not individually, as Romans 8, 9, and 10 tells us, that whereas the word is in your mouth, you know, and when it's in your mouth, but if you can begin to confess. Now, Jesus is saying to us openly, do you believe in me or not? And if you don't believe in the one who sent me, believe me that the words that I speak, the words that I do are not of myself, but it's the one who sent me. In other words, when you look at John 14 and 10, he said, believe it or not, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Now, he gives reverence right there. In other words, the work that I come to me, I've been engineered and designed to do it. I know what my destiny is when I come into this very land. I was created for this purpose and this purpose alone, to do what the Father has called me to do. As we go back and understand that the disciples, as he began to gather the disciples, after he come up out of the sea from being baptized, after they're out of the hands of John the Baptist, he began to go into wilderness, which indicates that even when we understand Romans 8, 9, and 10, as we begin to confess the things in our hearts and believe that he is the Lord, and he's the one that's going to save us through salvation, that he died on the cross for the remission of our sins, that we may have the rights to the tree of life. But in receiving the rights to the tree of life, I don't want to get into this because, look, I'm falling into the area dealing with the 10 laws of the kingdom, but I want to deal with this first prophetic part that I'm teaching you on in terms of how you got to walk in obedience to receive that what God has in store for you. In other words, the keys that you have will never enter you into your home unless you have them in your hand. If you ever lost your keys, you ever lost the keys to your car, you cannot by no means operate anything in the tangible sense that has a key that's enabling it to get you in. And once you get into the kingdom, that's designed that you got to know all around the kingdom. You go in your house, you go in your home, you got to know the kingdom just like you know every bedroom in your house. You got to be able to know where the kitchen is, you got to know where the bedroom is, the third bedroom, the fourth bedroom, those who have it, God bless you. You got to know where the keys to open up your garage, the ones who sets off the alarm. These are keys that you have to know and understand that you need. So goes in the kingdom. God has given us a plan to understand that prayer, according to the book of Luke 10, is going to be the key to get you in. Now, the disciples had miscued this in such a way that when he began to ask them, the disciples began to ask him over in the book of Luke, chapter 11, he said, and it came to pass that when he was praying, in other words, he goes back to the book of John, chapter 14, verse 10, you know, he's speaking to the one to give him directions on what he was doing. In other words, God was his GPS system. In other words, he is the Trinun. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all in one, but he still got to have the directions in this earthly suit that he has to do the work to make us as men and women of God to understand that the work that he's doing is not on himself, but the one who sent him. Now, now I don't want to get into any kind of erroneous teaching, because I want you to see something. When God genetically engineered and designed you in the book of Genesis, then you look at the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, he said before you was even knitted together, before you was even formed, God designed and engineered you with a gift. And that gift is for you to be exercised in such a way that you bring it to full fruition. Now, I told you I played collegiate sports and did a little things and tried some NFL trials but never made it. But one thing about it, I say this. In the midst of coming into those camps, I still had to abide by the rules and the regulations under that very authority which I was under for if I'm going to make the team. Whether I made it or not, I still have a plan, not only in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense that comes from the kingdom. In other words, I got a plan according to Jeremiah 29:11 that I override any man-made rule. Is my talking to anybody this afternoon? He said, "For I don't know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. They are good and not of evil." When Jesus was in the midst of praying in the book of Luke, when they was passing by him, he ceased from praying, and he said unto them, "Lord, teach us to what? To pray." That's the key. Praying and understanding the word of God is going to get you the access to wherever you got to go. It's prayer first. Prayer as John taught his disciples, and he said unto them, "Now when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven." Give reverence to our Father which art in heaven, which I be thy name, let the kingdom, thy will, free will, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, thy will be done as is in heaven, so is in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, come on, somebody. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For as we forgive the ones that indebted to us. Now we go back to the Ten Commandments. Understand the law if you're going to walk in the principles and the power of the kingdom. Those who have things against you, you can't hold. But you got to have a heart to understand that God has even gave you, even in the midst of all your subordinateness, all your proclivities that you went through in your life, that even when he speaks and declare a word over in the book of 2 Corinthians, 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, well, if we're a chosen vessel before the foundations of the world, to be able to genetically engineer the work that God has performed for us, but we can't do it on our own. Come on, somebody. We got to do it with the will and the purpose and the power of God to know that through him, everything and all things are possible. Old scripture, most of us know it. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom, and all of these things will be added unto you." The first principle of getting the very keys to the kingdom and then finding the GPS through the Spirit to get around that what God has already given you before the foundation of the world is understanding the obedience. Now, the disciples knew these things because they saw the very performance as even with their Father, which is the Son, that came along with everything that they've done. They saw him heal. They saw him heal blind. They saw him the dead raised. They saw the man with the withered hand. They saw all kinds of sickness and disease delivered. But Jesus was showing the same authority that I have, you have. But only if you understand that what I'm training you, that what you are already designed to do, because you created in the image of your Father, there's nothing that you can't do. In other words, the Word of God says like this. We look at Psalms 84:11. The Word of God says, if I walk upright, it says, no good thing I hold from those who walk upright. In other words, when we understand God is a sun and shield, meaning he's a sun and he's a shield, meaning his word, according to the book of Numbers, 23:19-21, won't go bad. In other words, he said, I'm the God that won't lie. Like, man will lie to you, but I'm your sun and your shield. In other words, when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. In other words, according to Isaiah 55:11, it's going to perform to do everything that I declared. In other words, nothing's wrong with the world. It's you. It's the ground. Nothing wrong with the seed. It's you the problem. In other words, you understand that I came here to die for the purpose of your sin, that even when you fall short, I've given you the power and authority through the prayer to understand that when you give reverence to the Father who in heaven, there's nothing that you can do. In other words, God will begin to forgive you according to the word of God over in the book of Numbers. Am I God that I should lie? Or am I a son of a man? Listen to me real close. I'm going somewhere. Am I son of a man that I should have to repent? By the given a commandment to bless, I cannot reverse it. Now, when you actually look at the book of Numbers, and you look at 23:19-21, he said, am I God? Now, he makes reverence to himself the same way he makes reverence over here in the book of Luke. He's telling us, if you're going to receive anything from me, you're going to have to first give reverence to me as being your Father in heaven, who's got the ability to do everything and all things with you and through you, for those who what, diligently seek him. Now, the word of God does declare, seek ye first the kingdom. As I seek the kingdom, then everything will be added unto me. But it comes through obedience. And with obedience, God brings the very things he guarantees in your life that even when you ask, no good thing will withheld from you. Now, I want to move on this because I want to show you something. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, but you're going to have to follow me. I'm trying to show you something. This is not erroneous teaching. This is kingdom teaching to keep you to understand the authority is in your hand. The power has been given unto you. It's been given to you to speak, according to Romans 4:17, to have the spirit of knowledge, not only the spirit of wisdom, but to have the prophetic utterance to understand that you can see things before they even happen. That you got the power to declare and decree things even before it comes up in your event. You got the spirit and the power to bind every evil spirit. You got the power to shut down every force of the enemy in the name of Jesus. That you know how to open your mouth, and when you speak a word, you believe that what you speak will come to fruition. God said, there's nothing what I will hold from you. In other words, James says, don't pray to me according to James 1:8. Don't pray to me and then think about something else. In other words, don't be double-minded in your speech. No, he said, now, if you're going to be that way with me, then I can't deal with you. In other words, we don't want to deal with wishy-washy people. Now, God's not calling you wishy-washy, but on a physical level, in the human suit, we as people don't want to deal with wishy-washy. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, people that's all tossed up, don't know what up, look down, or right, look wrong, and tell you something, and you're not going to perform it. In other words, sometimes in the church, we get caught up to the point that we get so hurt that when somebody do come with a prophetic word and a prophetic utterance to us, we don't know how to handle it because we've been so deterred or so inverted in such a direction that when we do hear the truth, we can't accept it because we got that shield on us. Now, Jesus proclaims a word that he's beginning to speak over in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 2. And he said unto him, that when you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, let's say, as in heaven, so in earth. Now catch that. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. That's a guaranteed word. In heaven, so should it be done on earth. But if you believe, and if you pray, and he goes on the third verse, but you got to give us this day. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. The bread is an available to you that when you wake up every morning, the God to give you the health and strength that you need to push forward. You ought to understand that even when you're in the midst of pain, God has laid you to see another day. And if he gave you the ability to see another day, that's still a chance that God's got the ability to heal you. I remember the old movie that says one time, it was an old movie I watched, and I don't want to say the name because it was back in my days when I was growing up and kind of wild and out there doing things I ought not to do. It says every day above ground is a good day because God gives you a chance that even when you got sickness in your body, even when you got things going against you, even when you got laws, dimensions of this earth coming against you, God say, I will change those things according to the kingdom, but you're going to have to believe that I'm a God. And not only am a God, but I'm a God, and I'm one of those who diligently seek. If I'm going to seek the power of God and be in the power of God, then I know and understand that through me, everything that I tell God is possible through him. In other words, not through me, but I'm in the workmanship of the kingdom. Now, he goes on and speaks to me. He says, forgive us our sins, for as we forgive everyone that indebted to us. Now, indebted means that indebted to us. In other words, when somebody's indebted to you or you indebted to them, that means that we can't hold nothing over nobody's head. He said, forgive us our sins, for as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, because sometimes when you got anger or you holding a debt over somebody's head about what they did and said to you, guess what? It leads your mind into temptation. In other words, according to the book of Ephesians 6, your armor begin to get pierced because of your negative thinking in your mind. And then the enemy begins to come in, and then it begins to ricochet around your head and get you to think all these flawless and erroneous thoughts about somebody, rather than being able to forgive them for whatever it is that's in their life or whatever it is they may have done to you, that you may continue to keep moving forward, not withholding anything on them, because now you're walking in the kingdom walk. Come on, somebody. I want to talk to you this morning. But it says over in the fifth verse, and he said unto them, which of you should have a friend? Listen to this real close. Which of you should have a friend and should not go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For the friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, it's a question there. It's a question mark there. That even in the midst of what you have, Jesus said, when you come to me and you say you love me, but you leave your brother destitute and lost, and you leave him without the things that he needs, if you have 2 tunics and you don't want to give him one, come on, somebody, because that's how we are sometimes. God will financially bless us with a home, a house, a car, and the first thing we want to do is don't want to pick up somebody for church or pick up somebody, take them to the store or drive up the street to help them, because we begin to cherish that what we were given by God as an idol. And we don't want nobody to step foot in it, to be a part of it, or do nothing with it. We don't know how to share. That's why we're stuck right where we are. You're trying to get more things. You're trying to get more things. And by your instance trying to get more things, you can't get it. You can't get it. By you not being able to get it, you understand and realize that in your life there's been a problem because of your understanding. And your understanding begins to be shallow. And when your understanding gets shallow, you'll begin to knock off the things that God has already planned for your life because of your erroneous thinking. You begin to have debt toward people about the things that you're holding over their head. But yet you still want God to bless you. You will still want God to provide for you. But you don't know how to receive those things because you still are tempted in your mind about in debts that you have toward somebody or about somebody. Now, I'm not saying this that nobody, you know, goes through this, because I went through it before. Now, you got to be truthful to yourself before you be truthful to somebody else. The Bible does declare, you know, what, 1 Corinthians 11:23, examine yourself. Now, you can't say that you didn't got more holy to a point that, you know, that now you have arrived and everybody else is beneath you. But he goes on and says in the book of Luke chapter 11, in verse 6, he says, a friend of mine has journeyed and come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, let's think about that. And he says in the seventh verse, to sum it up, when the form within, he answered and said, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise to give thee. Now, I'm going to take that, and I'm going to run with it for a minute. Sometimes when you've been out for so long, and Jesus then came into your life and trying to pull you out of the world, and the Holy Spirit comes and knocks on your door, the first thing you want to do is shawl him out. Because now you have shut your door, you're stuck in your ways, you don't want to change, and the Holy Ghost is knocking on your door, the power of the Spirit is trying to get you delivered, and the first thing you understand that he kept you along the course of that old journey that you was in, and now that he come knocking on your door, the first thing you do is throw the Holy Spirit a bone. No, I want to keep on living like the world. I want to keep on sinning. I want to keep on doing the things that make me feel good, whether it be unmarital sex or you're doing unmarital relationships with people and things that's not a kingdom-minded, whether you're doing drugs, whether you're doing anything that's outside the kingdom of God, you begin to love more of the flesh than you love God. But the word of God is coming clear here. Your friend is the Holy Spirit. He's the paraclete. He's the one coming and knocking on your door and telling you, look, body, flush. Understand, there's somebody that's coming to meet you. And the bread that you don't have, he's willing to give you. But notice what he says on this. Now, I'm not a religious, I'm teaching this thing. You don't want to hear it. Because you get a textbook, and you listen to another minister or another man of God, and you begin to hear what he has to say. Rather than set back ambassador in the spirit, let him give you revelation or something, you'll go to a book. You know, and you'll believe a book before you believe this book. As a matter of fact, you'll believe book before you believe the Holy Spirit. And when you understand that God has got a plan for you in your life, And you got to understand and realize that now is the time that you need to be lined up, because now he's knocking on your door. Don't shy him away, according to what it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 7. And it's in yourself. You answered and said to the Holy Spirit, trouble me not, because the life I'm living, I love it. You know, my door is now shut. I don't want you to come in and change me in any shape, form, or fashion, because this is just where I want to be. I want to be just like I am. But it goes on in the eighth verse. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, yet because of his, in opportunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needed. Now let's look at that again. I'll say unto you, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, though you won't get up off your end and get up and get out and do what God has called you to do, but yet you still want to stay right in where you are, but yet the opportunity is coming to you that you arise, and when you rise, you'll understand when you let him in, he'll give you as much as you need. What are you lacking? Are you lacking health? Is your job giving you a problem? Are you going through changes in your life? Is your husband acting like he's upside down? Your wife acting like she's upside down? Huh? Is your job giving you a problem? Are your children are going batty, going crazy? Then you got to understand, when you let the Holy Spirit in, he'll line up everything according to the blood. But you got to make the first step, and that's the step to salvation. That even when you make the step to salvation, God has already declared and decreed that he will not make you ashamed, that he'll deliver unto you that what he has delivered unto the Son. He'll give you everything you need according to the Spirit. And he goes on in the ninth verse, and he says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. If the Holy Spirit is knocking your door, all you got to do is do it. Romans 8, 9, and 10. At the end of the service, every Monday and Thursday, we open an opportunity for you to come in and give yourself to salvation. But no, not most of us. We want to be before a crowd. We want to let the people know that we're doing something, rather than believing that you can touch the television, believing through your faith, or you can hear this broadcast that's going on, like, that you can be delivered from whatever it is in your life. And sometimes we get to what you call church conscious, and we go to church and we get in the building, we put on our fancy clothes, we look good, but we don't go into church with the right mind. The man of God has been sent to you to give you a word, but yet you reject the word, because now he's coming to you, like it said in verse 8. And when he comes to you, the first thing you begin to do is shut him out. How do you shut him out? You don't abide by the rules and regulations he's given. You don't abide by the vision that he's put in place. You don't want to do anything according to the kingdom of God, but go in, get your little fix, and get on back out of there. And then through the week, you live like hell all week long. And you want to come back to God and repeat the process. Oh, there's no progress in your life. There's nothing going forward, because you failed to hear the man of God speak the word that's got the power to change you. Now, let me tell you something right here, and I don't say this with any kind of prejudice toward anybody. When you get into cliques, clubs, titles, and positions, you know, I'm an apostle, or I'm a bishop, or I'm an archbishop. No, you're just a man. And you're just a man. I'm not saying that you can't, that God didn't position you in an area to do something in terms of helping people out. But when you get into this name stuff, you can go down to any store and get you a Indian store cross, or get you an Indian store ring. And you can put any kind of title on you want. Matter of fact, you can go to the internet and get you an ordained degree. You can go to the internet and you put B-I-S-H-O-P on your name all day long. But you know what? You're still a man. And that don't put you above anybody else. But when you understand that you sent it to do a work, Jesus said, I come to do the work of the Father, the one who sent me. If you don't believe in me in chapter 14, that he said, verse 10, if you don't believe in me, believe in the works that I do. In other words, I'm going to show you that the works that I'm doing is of God. It's of God. And when you understand that God has called you into this area to do this work, then you got to believe and declare and decree that through him, everything and all things are possible. Don't shorthand God in terms of what he's calling you to do. Believe that God is giving you a plan, and now he's giving that plan. He's strategically designed and engineered it for you. That even in the midst of your troubles, even in the midst of some of the things you're dealing with, God has yet have a plan for your life. Even when it looks like things are not going the way you want it to go, even when it looks like things are not moving according to your wisdom, not your wisdom, but your plan, God has already declared according to this kingdom, is he a God that he shall lie? Or is he a son of a man that he shall have to repent? The commandment has been given. And he said his commandment is given to bless. And he will not reverse it. But it goes on and says something so powerful in the midst of your struggle, that it says more or less over in the same thing over in the book of Luke chapter, I believe it's, yeah, Matthew, I'm sorry, lost the chain of thought here. I got my young daughter in the studio with me, and she's training, and everything that I'm telling her, she sees and hears. So the baton is being passed. My little daughter, Marcella, say hello, Marcella.
Hello.
Yeah, my little daughter, Marcella, she's in the studio with her dad, and she's been trained to understand that one day that, you know, her dad is not going to be in this business like he is now, but she's designed to carry it further than what I'm carrying it to. In other words, it's a difference between running a 100-yard dash and running a relay. Am I talking to anybody? But he goes on and says, over in Luke chapter 11, verse 10, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth. Come on, somebody. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Now, notice this. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? I'm not giving my daughters no stones over here. I'm not giving her rocks. I'm giving her what's going to help her in life. Or if you give him, or will you give him a serpent? Or, well, if he asks for a fish, you give him a fish. If you ask for a fish, you will give him a serpent. Now, that's just dirty right there, you know. Or if he asks an egg, you will offer him a scorpion. Man, that's what you call, you know, not passing the baton in the right way. My daughter's with me on this broadcast, and everything that I tell her, sometimes I got to get at her, and I got to tap her a little bit, but, you know, the word of God says, better rise, better child. You know, I got to get at her sometimes, but she know her dad loves her. And as she begins to grow, she'll understand that I'm not going to hold nothing from her. And I'm going to do everything in my power, my will, to make sure she succeeds in her life, that she'll know how to pray, that she'll know when she gets in a tormenting situation, that it's a God that can deliver her, that even if she prays every night now, and she knows how to pray, her mother teaches her how to pray, Co-Pastor Patty teaches her how to pray, then when she gets into trouble, she gets into incident, when her body gets aches, she gets in pain, she knows how to lay her hands on herself and begin to pray. But the word of God does say in the book of Luke chapter 11, in verse 13, lost my train of thought here a little bit. But he being evil, know how to give good gifts to his children. How much more should your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? All you got to do is open your mouth, ladies and gentlemen. The word of salvation is always going to be there. It'll never leave. It'll never forsake. It's designed to do everything that it said it's going to do. In the midst of it doing that, you got to understand and realize that in the midst of everything that God is telling you, it's already been designed for you to succeed. Now, at the end of this broadcast, every Monday and every Thursday, I always give an opportunity to somebody that they may come to Christ. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what you're going through. God is on the throne, and he's able to deliver you from whatever it is. I can't deal with the 10 laws of the kingdom because I got to get you to understand that you got to understand the steps, how to get there first. In other words, when you get $1 million tonight, you wouldn't know how to spend it because you don't know how to deal with $1 million. Some say I do this, some say I do that. You wouldn't even give honor to God first. The first thing that comes to your mind is tangible things, which most of us, you know, when first thing, when I ever got money like that, if I ever came to $1 million, first thing I thought, I'm going to get me this, I'm going to get me that. No. Money generates the point of revenue. In other words, it causes things in your life to flow a little bit smoother. But in the process, if you don't know how to invest in your investments, you don't know how to make those swell. You don't spend out of the pot into your investments. Your pot, which is the million, makes your investments. And when you invest in, you live off the invest. It's the same with the kingdom of God. God has given you the ability through life and with the investment through his son that he lied on the cross that you had a right to the church. He invested in you. So as he invests in you, invest back into those who need to hear the word of God. Invest your time, your life, and what you do as a man or woman of God back into those who need to have a word sowed in their life. The word of God that says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. You know, and the Bible says, don't you know you are the Holy Spirit? You are designed and engineered to do the work of God according to his will. Amen. As we get ready to go back into this segment, and not that we're out of it. I want to offer a word of salvation. I always offer a word of salvation. And in the midst of offering that word of salvation, we want people to understand and realize, in the midst of some of the changes that you deal with in your life, God is always there waiting for you. He's always there to give you what you need. He's always there to help you through your shortcomings. He's always there. He never leaves you. He never forsake you. He said he'll be with you until the end. And so we believe that in the midst of what we're going through sometime in our life, that the change has got to come through the power of God. The word reads very clearly, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. What kind of wisdom we need? We need revelatory wisdom, the ability to be able to understand and determine things before they even happen, to have what you call foresight. We want to be a seer. We want to see things before the events even take place, that through the word of God, we got the power to bind and declare and decree and cast those things out even before they have a chance to come to fruition. That's through the power of God. I don't know where you are right now in your life. I don't know what you're going through, what's been happening in your life, but I do know one thing. There's a God that's in heaven. And if he gives you the opportunity to do the very work that he calls you to do according to his will, then we know through him and everything and all things are possible. As being believers, and we decree a word right now as we begin to ask God about the purpose of what's going on in our lives and how we need to come to the point that we need to know that we love him and we're willing to serve him and help him in any work that we may do to the kingdom of God. And I always offer each and every one of you an opportunity to come to the Lord, to give your life to Christ, to understand that now in the midst, if you ain't saved, you need to get saved. If I was you, I'll get saved. I will get saved. I'll find somewhere, get a church to get into, and I'll get saved. And as we go into this prayer, I don't know if you're going through something in your life, you need me to pray for you, which I will do, and I won't hinder from praying. But I want you to know one thing, that God is on the throne. And in the midst of him being on the throne, he's still got the ability to take you out and deliver you out of whatever it is you're in. And my prayer of salvation, as we go into the word of salvation, is that that God loves you. Sin separates you. In other words, sin separates you from God. Jesus died for the remission of your sins, that you can receive Jesus right now. You can receive him right now. All it takes is a phone call for you to call in and then hear what the word of God has to say. In the midst of everything that's going on, if those of you need salvation in your life, those who want to call in for prayer, you can. We offer this every time. I would miss an opportunity for someone praying for me because you never know when your account gets low. But what we do sometimes as people, if we pray real good and it sounds good, we receive it. But sometimes you can give one of the most raggediest prayers that ever been told or ever been said, and that'd be the very prayer that'll save you. It may not have all the good words that sound like it want to sound. It may not rhyme like you want to rhyme. It's just something that comes from your heart. For those who want to call in to receive a word of prayer in the midst of me giving this very word for salvation, can do that. I call it the Thursday night altar call. And for you to call in, the number is 347-637-1074. We all deal with something in our life. As we deal with something in our life, we understand and realize that in the midst of what we deal with, God is always giving us the opportunity to get ourselves together. And in the midst of all that I'm speaking, I just ask everybody, give yourself a chance. Don't stop. Don't hinder what God is giving you. And the word of God does declare, and it prays like this in the word of salvation. If you just pray with me out loud, it says that this, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. And I open my heart to let Jesus come inside of me. Jesus, you are my Lord, my Savior. I believe you died for my sins. And you were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, amen. Father God, I declare the word of God according to the Spirit that even as I begin to speak that very announcement to the lives and the hearts of those people who have an ear to hear, Lord, let your power, your Spirit begin to bring reverence to their life, wherever it is that they fall short. Lord, I decree a word according to the Spirit, according to the power of the Holy Ghost that you come into their life, Lord, deliver them from whatever it may be. I don't care, Father God, if they're dealing with crack, cocaine, dealing with prostitution, dealing with anything in their life that's unlikely to your kingdom, Father God. Every every form of temptation, Lord, I shout it down in the name of Jesus, Father God. I come against every spirit, every soothsaying spirit, every negative health plan that's in the life of every individual, Lord. I decree the word according to God that even in the new season they're coming into, Father God, you will give them reverence, you will give them grace, and you give them mercy. You will line them up according to the spirit, Father God, that even in the midst of their household, that hard-headed wife, that hard-headed husband, everyone will begin to line up to show that to you, Father God, the man and woman of God in the house has got to line up according to the kingdom of God if they're going to pass the baton to that next generation. Father God, line the kids up in the name of Jesus. Every son that's in prison in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare right now, even in the prison cell, Father God, that you send forth your holy angels, touch them in every area of their life, Father God, that they may be delivered for whatever it is. Everyone that's unloved and feel that they're not wanted, Father God, decree your love upon their life right now in the name of Jesus. I send your spirit, Father God, your heavenly Father, your declare, decree, your word, even in the corridors of the hospitals, Father God, that even you begin to touch them, Father God, in the midst of everything in their life, that you know through them, Father God, through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. Lord God, thank you right now in the name of Jesus that you're moving according to your spirit, according to your plan, according to your power, that even as we begin to pray, well, we loose the spirit right now in the name of Jesus. We declare the word of God of healing, salvation, and love, care, prosperity, and joy all over their life in this upcoming season, Father God. And Father God, even in coming into the new year, Father God, we put a hedge around every one of them in the name of Jesus. We declare the word by the power of God, by the illumination of the Holy Ghost, that even as you begin to test them, Father God, you'll shock them right back into the presence, Father God. Let your word be like a electricity in their life that'll just mesmerize them back into existence where they should be. And let them realize and understand that they call from the Father to do the very work that you called them to do. Father God, these things I ask not of myself, but the power of the Most High God. Look over every mother, Father God, even my mother, Father God. Look over Sister Robinson, Father God, a woman that's going through some struggles in life, but you are already lined her up. Father God, look over Sister Ellis, Mother Ellis, Missionary Ellis, in the name of Jesus. Look over my wife right now, Father God, who drives up and down the dangerous highways on her way home to receive her very family, Father God, that when she come in, everything will be in check and everything is being checked with her. Father God, I declare the word of God, even as a woman of God, Lord, who just recently had the surgery, Father God, that her life, Lord, and her hip, the very surgery she had is a manifested healing, that she's been healed in every area of her body right now in the name of Jesus. Bless the man of God in Houston, Texas, the Disciples Tabernacle, that he continue to flourish in the wisdom that he's designed in his life, that he'll touch the lives of every individual in the name of Jesus, Father God. I decree a word, not of myself, but according to the Spirit. These things I don't even ask of myself, but through the power of the Most High God, I decree it, Lord. I declare it. I call it been done in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Father God. We bless your holy name. These things we ask not of ourselves, but of the power of the Most High God in the name of Jesus. Father God, we put it into the third heavens to go forth. We declare that it will not come back void, but we know according to your word, Father God, it will do everything in that and therein. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for Harvest New Life Church, for the broadcast, Father God, for the increase in the house, for all those that you're bringing, Father God, that it be a apostolic anointing, a prophetic anointing upon the house, that people will come in from all over the world to be healed, delivered for whatever it is that's in their life, set demonic spirits free off their life, Father God. They even live their life of the kingdom, Father God. We shut down every form of alcoholism, for every form of addiction, Father God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I feel your Holy Spirit moving, Father God. Shut down every disease in the body of every individual, Father God. I declare that everything in their body line up according to the Spirit. These things I'm asking not of myself, but the power of the Most High God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. Well, for those of you who have been listening in with us, I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church. And once again, before we go off the air, I just want to acknowledge the fact that we got our First Lady, Patty Ellis, on the line. Maybe she has something to say before we go off the line, even though we got multiple people lining up on the line. We want to give them an opportunity to say something, but at the same time, we want to give the woman of God, who's a part of this ministry, we want to give her reverence and what she has to say, who's been by my side, just finishing out an anniversary this past Monday. We thank God for that anniversary. It was a beautiful anniversary. So we just thank God for just pushing us in the years he had put in our life, even with this beautiful daughter we have, and every one of our kids. We ask him just to keep on continuing to touch us and bless us in our life. Well, First Lady's on the line. If she has something to say, she can. If not, we're going to push on through and we're just going to move. But we're going to give our opportunity to say something according to this word that came forth tonight.
Well, God bless you. And I'm that I just kept, the call kept fuzzing out, so I am so sorry. But what I did, what I was able to get, and I have this
we she's fading out on us, you know, 'cause I know she's probably moving, and we're not catching everything from you, woman of God. Matter of fact, we just lost her. At the same token, we just want to thank each and every one of you. Maybe she would get her back in. But we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in with us tonight during the course of this study, understanding the pre-principles of the 10 laws of the kingdom. And we understand we come out of the book of Luke, and persistence is our main word. We want to persist. We want to go to God with persistence. And we want to continue to ask that even he come to us with persistence. Through his word, as we go into the church and we hear the prophetic utterance of the man of God who stands before us, let us give ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us as being the church. But we thank you once again. This is Pastor Alice here at the Harvest New Life Church. For those who want to contact me, you can. Area code 214-870-2146. And the website you want to call is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. Once again, I thank you. God bless you. And God keep you. And thank you for joining us on our broadcast on tonight.
Give him glory, for he's the King of Kings. Give him glory.